This is our year of maximum kingdom manifestation. I started talking about the process to maximum kingdom manifestation that really ties in to a series and teaching I did some time ago called The Process to His Manifestation. There is a process, and last week I kind of walked through those steps. I said that this week I would begin to just go deeper into each one of those steps to help us understand the importance of them in our walk in God. And while I was preparing that, I started to hear some other things as it relates particularly to this first step, which is separation. Say separation. Separation. In this step, in the process, which is the first step, it's a very key step, and it's very important because whether we realize it or not, there is coming a day when there will be a separation. And in my reading and in my preparation, I came across a couple of really powerful illustrations that I want to start out with and then maybe come back into talking about this first step of separation and how we see it in the scriptures. But one of the things that I believe God is doing in this season is He is setting the stage for what will eventually be the divine separation. The divine separation. I made this statement before, and I want to say it again. I don't know that in the history of the church that we've ever been in the kind of place where so many people have gravitated to titles and positions, and they're wearing them with badges, and they're saying that they're this and they're that, and yet there's no real power there. There's no real authority behind them. And there are scriptures that speak to it that I think should, I'll just say it this way, that makes it quite sobering for me in walking this out. Because I grew up in a season of aspiring, if you will, to want to be known, to have a title and position. And if many of you would tell the truth, you would say, yeah, I kind of have gone down that road myself, and maybe sometimes more than once. Because one of the things that we have not understood is that our passion should not be for the title, but the function. It should not be for the position, but for the serving, for the work that needs to be done. And I remember back some years ago, I had a group of men around me. Some of them are still my spiritual sons. And we came together with a class on Timothy. And out of that class, a number of them came out of that class and they said, I'm called to be a pastor. I'm called to be a pastor. Pastor Jamal was in that class. He said that, and he's walking it out. But the one thing that I was saying to all of them is make sure you know what you're saying. You need to make sure you know what you're saying because you think it's one way, but it's totally different. The weight, the responsibility, the hurt, the pain, the disappointment, the betrayal, all of that is in the job description. Uh-huh. Yeah, so it's like, I need to help you recognize the totality of serving in this kind of capacity. Because many just bail out and they just stop. They just do. It's too much pain, the hurts, you know, the disappointments, the disagreements. Nothing you say ever really, helps some people. And no matter what you do, you know, it's always going to be scrutinized and all those kind of things. So you want to be clear that what you're doing, you're really supposed to be doing. And you're doing it out of the right heart posture that causes you to keep going even while you're taking the hits. And so in this place where we find ourselves, now I'm talking about the church, the body of Christ, I want to share a couple of scriptures that I know are going to be quite sobering for us. But I'm determined to teach in a way, one, that I hear it first, but secondly, I deliver it to you to help you as well, so that when it's all said and done, you and I don't end up in some of the places I'm getting ready to talk about right now, okay? All right, so in Matthew 25, and starting at verse 31, and just kind of listen, and I think Pastor Deborah will get the scriptures up on the screen. Matthew 25, starting at verse 31, it says, "But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. And all nations," say all nations, "all nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd separates sheep from goats." Say sheep and goats. "And he will put the sheep on his right side and the goats on the left side." Now, I want you to understand here, he's not talking about the world. He's talking about his church. He's talking about this is in the kingdom, y'all, okay? "Then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." I just want to make note, I remember that particular verse so vividly because when I was in high school, I sang in the choir, I sang with the ensemble, and I sang in competitions, you know, and some of those were solo. And we got to select the song that we wanted to sing. Even in high school, the song I selected was called "Come Ye Blessed of My Father." I sang this that I'm reading you, I sang that. And I did well with it, but I'm just saying, I'm thinking back, wow, man, I remember this back in high school. "The king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and fed you, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? Or when did we see you a stranger and invited you in, or naked and clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? The king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of the least of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me." We have the previous owner who had given himself to serving and serving those that were also involved with various addictions and things. That's the lifestyle that God delivered him out of. His ministry was entitled Good Samaritan. And behind this banner, there is actually a mural. And on that mural, it says, "When you've done it to the least of these, but you've done it unto me." Now, excuse me, it's beautifully done. We kept it up for over a year or so, and then it was time to switch it, and that's why we did, but it's still up there. My point with that, though, is this. We can never lose sight of what it really means when we talk about maximum kingdom manifestation. And that's why when on last week I led us in a declaration, which we will get to at some point here as well, where I read you through that. By God's grace, we are the answer. By God's grace, you are the answer. I don't care whether it's in your home, on your job, in your community, in the grocery store, wherever you find yourself, you really are the answer. But you've got to be able to make this shift and walk in this place consistently. Jesus said, "When you've done it to the least of them, you've done it unto me." Then he will say to those on his left, say his left. Yeah, you just look at somebody and say, "Don't go left. Whatever you do, don't go left. You don't want to be on the left side of anything." You want to be on the right side. He says to those on his left, "Depart from me, accursed ones into eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, who's he talking to? He's not talking to the world, y'all. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. One of the wonderful assignments that Brother Keith and I had is we went into prisons and correctional institutions for many years. Saw many souls saved, baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. One prison we went into, we did 5 services in 2 days. 5 services in 2 days in order to impact as many lives as we could. Then they themselves also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, truly I say, to the extent that you did not do it to the one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. I know this is quite sobering, but I need you to understand there is a line of demarcation that's being drawn. Not between the world and the church, but in the church. Somebody just say, help us, Jesus. Come on, say, help me, Jesus. I want you to know that this has everything to do with maximum kingdom manifestation. I'm talking about real people, real believers, real kingdom citizens that are truly living this out and walking this out. So it was this morning as I was continuing to just pray about this back in Pastor Jamal's anointed office. There was another scripture that Holy Spirit brought to me. And I just felt like he said, you need to share this one too. And I said, okay. So we're going to Matthew 7. I love how Holy Spirit moves in real time. You know, you understand that is part of the prophetic in real time. Like all that we did up to this time in the ministry, that's kingdom in real time. It's not planned out. It's not scripted out. It's not, we can't go there because we didn't practice it. We can't go there because I didn't study it. You know, God will give you revelation and you just share it and then you get it on the back end with everybody else. Then there are some things that you do study out or you walk out, and so you're sharing it out of your experience as well. But I try to live in a place where I'm constantly hearing, and I choose to believe that you're doing the same. Matthew, the 7th chapter, and I'm starting at verse 13. It says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, and every bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then, you will know them by their fruits. You will know them by their fruits. And then he says this, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. What does it mean to practice lawlessness? Let me read from the Message Bible that same passage, and then we're going to come back to this lawlessness piece. Can we do that?
Yes.
Thank you. That was rhetorical, but thank you for the two that said yes. My God. I need you to know that I carry this thing deep inside me because I don't want to be named as one of those. I'm not going to say you don't want to be because that's up to you, but I don't want to be named as one of those. And you say, and if you want to be confident in the Lord, just say, and I won't be. By the grace of God. This is how it speaks in the Message. And I love certain things that they do, not everything. But it says this: don't look for shortcuts to God. Now we're talking about process here. We're talking about a process. Don't look for shortcuts to God. The market is flooded with surefire, easygoing formulas for a successful life that can be practiced in your spare time. Don't fall for the stuff, even though crowds of people do. The way of life to God is vigorous and requires total attention. Just stay right there. Don't go any further. I just need y'all to really look at that one. If you want to take a picture of it, you can do that too. But I don't want to rush through this right here, what I'm reading to you, what we're talking about. Don't look for shortcuts to God. The challenge we face right now is we can package anything. We package everything. So we can, you know, we can have a level of success and then package it to tell you you can be successful doing the same thing. I need you to know. I need to know that it doesn't always work that way. It's not supposed to work that way. It's supposed to be unique to you, the calling on your life, and who God has called you to. And so if we're not careful, we can market this thing. It says here, the market is flooded with surefire, easygoing formulas for successful life that can be practiced in your spare time. Meaning you can just lay up at home and read it and then go out and try to do it. Don't fall for that stuff, even though crowds of people do. The way to life to God is vigorous and requires total attention. That's why I try to say, God, help me to know when to plan. Like if we're like there's conferences everywhere. You do know there's like 500 prophetic conferences going on right now that you can go and get your word for 2024, more for 2024, more and more for 2024, and all kind of, you know, And what I'm wanting to help us with is, if we are truly going to be those who God will use for maximum kingdom manifestation, and it's truly Him, we've got to understand what's already out there. We've got to understand what we need to navigate through. We need to be able to understand what we say no to. We need to understand what we align ourselves with. We want to be able to offer things like others do, and we do. We have a class on the supernatural that was yesterday. I heard it was powerful, but we have to be, that's great, but hold on. Thank you. But we have to be very prayerful about it, okay? Because you see, you can't bring people in all in three sessions, and they got it. See, that's why I like what it says here. The way of life to God is vigorous and requires total attention. See, we can put together workshops and we can put together product, and we say, all you got to do is listen to these 7 tapes. I remember years ago buying that stuff. See, I was there in that category. Don't look for the shortcuts to God. I'm trying to get the shortcuts. Because I just needed to work. I needed to work for me, for my family. So I remember way back I bought this series called Success for Life. And I'm not going to say the guy's name, but it came in a big folder. It was like 50 cassette tapes, okay? And it was all about how to be successful and how to create wealth. He sold a bunch of them. I mean, he was all on TV and prophesying to people, and if you send in X amount of dollars, you get this prophecy. So I bought that, and I'm listening to them tapes, but still just as broke. If Pastor Maurice is up here, she said, yeah, we sure were. That didn't work. It's okay to smile, honey. I'm telling the truth. You know it. I'm like, okay, that one didn't work. But after a while, you realize there's no shortcuts here, y'all. That's why we're talking about this process. There's no shortcuts here. Not in these last days, not where we're at right now. Because even if you do the shortcut and it works, you're still not going to produce what God intended for you to produce because you didn't do it His way. It'll produce some fruit, but not necessarily fruit that remains. See, that's where you know you've landed in the right place, where what you do remains. There are no shortcuts. And so I'm the word leery, to say the word leery is too strong, but I always kind of watch and say, okay, what are we doing here? What are we presenting here? How are we presenting it? Because in everything we need, in everything we do and everything we share, it needs to point to a deeper relationship in God, a deeper relationship with Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you how He did it for me. I don't know if He's going to do that for you. He may and He may not. See, when I wrote that book, this last book, Same Faith, Same God, Living in the Realm of Ridiculous Faith, we didn't write that. I didn't write that as a 10-step process. If you do this, 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 and this, you're going to get this, 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 and this. No, I shared it from my journey, my perspective. As a result of that, I know that the Holy Spirit breathed on it because the lives that are being impacted by it. Many of you were here when Pastor Thomas Hill was just here. And he said, this book has helped me when I've needed this help, this encouragement. But it's God, hear me now, but it's God who brings to you, to me, to us, to anybody, what He wants to bring to us that's going to be sustainable. Say sustainable. So let's look up here again. Come on, just read it with me. Don't look for shortcuts to God. The market is flooded with surefire, easygoing formulas for a successful life that can be practiced in your spare time. Don't fall for that stuff, even though crowds of people do. The way of life to God is vigorous and requires total attention. Because the work that Holy Spirit does and the Word of God does on the inside of us produces something that is now sustainable. When Jesus said, you will bear fruit and fruit that remains, He's talking about you will produce things that are sustainable. It says, be weary of false prophets who smile a lot, dripping with practice sincerity. Chances are they are out to rip you off some way or other. You're putting up too much of the word at one time. Take that down because they're going to get ahead of me. I need you to take that down. Thank you, though, but just, yeah. Because I don't want you to read ahead of me, because I need to pause you on some of this stuff. Is that okay? So let me read it, and then once I've read it all, then put it up, okay? Okay? All right. Be wary of false preachers. I said prophets. Preachers who smile a lot, dripping with practiced sincerity. Chances are they're out to rip you off some way or another. Don't be impressed with charisma. Look for character. We can fix ourselves up. We can dress ourselves up. We have gifts. We have talents. We have abilities. All of that has to continually be yielded to God. Lest you be drawn to this speaker or this speaker or this speaker. You like the way they look. You like the way they sound. They're charismatic. There's nothing wrong with a person that looks nice or they're charismatic. It's what they're doing with it. We have made this a profession. So we've got professional preachers. Know exactly how to say certain phrases, how to raise our voice at a certain point, the dramatic pause that hopes it keeps everybody right there. Those kind of things you learn, you can learn, and you can hold folks' attention, but still have no real power in what you're offering. No life-changing power. Don't be impressed with charisma. Look for character. Who preachers are is the main thing, not what they say. Who preachers are is the main thing, not what they say. A genuine leader will never exploit your emotions or your pocketbook. It's okay to clap there. Yeah, it's okay to clap. A genuine leader will never exploit your emotions or your pocketbook. Meaning, they're not going to preach you into a frenzy, get you all excited, and say, get your pocketbooks out. Time for offering. You know, you got to have a real sense. Now, I do believe in exuberant giving, joyful giving, celebrated giving. But we have too much going on, and I will not be guilty of one of those who exploit the people ever. And then it says, the diseased trees with their bad apples are going to be chopped down and burned. Going to be chopped down and burned. Knowing the correct password, saying master, master, for instance, isn't going to get you anywhere with me. What is required is serious obedience, doing what my Father wills. I can see it now with the final judgment. Thousands strutting up to me saying, Master, we preached the message. We bashed the demons. Our God-sponsored projects had everyone talking. And do you know what I am going to say? You missed the boat. All you did was use me to make yourselves important. You don't impress me one bit. You're out of here. Now, Pastor Deborah, if you would, just put those up for a few seconds. Somebody that doesn't maybe have a message Bible and they want to just snap a picture of those, you can take time and do that. You see, that spirit of lawlessness is what that was just talking about. That spirit of lawlessness is where, in this particular commentary, which is really what it is more than a translation, I can see it now, the final judgment. Thousands strutting up to me saying, Master, Master, we preach the message, we bash the demons, and God-sponsored projects had everyone talking. And then he says, do you know what I'm going to say? You missed the boat. All you did was use me to make yourselves important. Because you see where it says you practice lawlessness, what it's saying is you were never submitted. You were never in obedience to Holy Spirit. You were never walking in obedience to the Father. You were doing what you wanted to do for your own gain. You were doing what you wanted to do to really promote yourself. And because I gave you gifts, and I gave you talent, and I gave you ability, and I placed on your life favor and charisma, instead of you yielding your life so that that glory and honor would come to me, you gathered people to yourself. You gathered resources to yourself. You used me to make yourself famous. No. You missed the boat. You're out of here. I know this problem. This isn't really like an amen, but this is really an oh my kind of message. You may be able to say amen on a couple things, but this is an oh my kind of message. And for those that will hear this on live stream, I'm not a disgruntled preacher, a disgruntled teacher. I'm happy with what I do, the success in my life. God has blessed me tremendously around the country and even abroad. So this isn't some small-time person who's disgruntled about everybody else that seems to be successful in what they're doing. I'm not that guy. But I'll tell you who I am. I'm somebody who is walking this thing out in fear and trembling. Because we, the church, we are in trouble. And somebody's got to say it. I received a prophetic word a few years back, a lady gave, she'd only met me one time, it was in Abbeville, and she gave me this word. And in that word, she said, you're the kind of guy that's very matter of fact in what you say. She said, and sometimes it seems like you're laying down the law. She said, but you just need to keep doing that. You need to keep saying what God is saying. She said, because there is a people who will hear it. I'm not the guy to try to sing us happy. I can do that. I write songs that do that. But I'd rather write something that pushes us so far into the presence of God that we're transformed and can't even get out of it if we wanted to. But I need to share this because as we're talking about this step of separation, I need us to know what weighs into balance and what's down the road. There will be a separating of the sheep from the goat. There will be a separation from those who will say, but Lord, in your name, he says, no, that was on you. And the only reason I moved is not for you, but because of the people who believed on me, even in the midst of your foolishness. See, God is wise enough, sovereign enough to say, okay, now I know why you're doing what you're doing. But that soul who thinks you're sincere, that doesn't know the difference, that's crying out to me, I'm going to win them. I'm going to save them, and I'm going to deal with you later. Now, again, I'm not going to be that kind of guy. And that's when you say me either. I'm not going to be that kind of believer. So this process is serious. Because going back to the first, Pastor Deborah, go back to the beginning of that passage, that first line there. Don't look for shortcuts to God. Don't look for shortcuts to God. Don't look for shortcuts to God. That's what we have right now in the body of Christ. We have a lot of people that have tried to take shortcuts, and they've ended up into places where they don't have the goods. They don't have what it takes. So you have the title, but you don't really have the authority, and you don't really have it in the spirit at all. So when somebody comes to you thinking that you have the power, you have the authority, and then you can't deliver on the goods, you're like the fig tree that didn't have fruit on it, and Jesus cursed it and said, you won't bear fruit. You're like the seven sons of Sceva who saw miracles happen, and they tried to cast out a devil, and the demons said, wait a minute. Paul, I know, and Jesus, I know, but who are you? See, here's what I want us to catch here in this. And then I think I'm going to be done for now, because I think, y'all probably say, yeah, Pat, that's enough. That's enough. The enemy knows if you got the goods. Do you understand that? When Jesus came up out of the water and the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, the devil heard that too, as a matter of fact. The Spirit of God, Spirit led him into the wilderness, and the devil met him out there. He said, oh, you the one. So he starts tempting him. What he didn't know is you messing with the wrong guy. But here's what I want us to understand is, the devil knows if you fit in the shortcut group. He knows then you don't have stamina in areas that you need to have the stamina. You don't have the fortitude to be able to be in some settings and be able to say no. You don't have the wherewithal, the strength on the inside of you to not give in to certain things. Because he's watched you and they took that shortcut. See, they didn't take the road that was going to really help them and develop them so that once they get here, now they took the shortcut. So I'm going to wait them out. I'm just going to wait you right on out, okay? You go ahead with that title. Mm-hmm. You go ahead and start that church. Go ahead and start that ministry. I will see you in 15 years. See, time. You took the shortcut. All right. I'll see you. I'll see you 40 years from now. At the height of what you built. And all of who you gathered to yourself. Help us, Father. Man, I feel like taking communion right now. I'm sorry, I just saw a communion cup right there. That's what it kind of. Is this sober?
Yes, it is.
It's real. Amen. It's sober. It's real. This process of separation, the first step, moving to maximum kingdom manifestation, is so real and so needful. And so, rather than to jump into that right now, I'm gonna stop right here. It's out of this study and this preparation and the reading of those passages And the passage out of Matthew where he says, when I was hungry, you fed me. It's out of those passages, reading those, that brought me to the end, the declaration that I did at the end last week. Because when you and I stand before God, that's what he's going to be talking about with us. Who did you help? Who did you visit in the hospital? Who did you visit in the prisons? Who did you help that was naked? Who did you clothe? Who did you feed? I don't want to get into it right now, but I'm going to go back and show you that the passages of scripture that we have for our theme this year, one is out of Acts, and it's in the book of Acts where it talks about the apostles moving in power, but then it talks about them sharing what they had, okay? And you can kind of read that and wonder, why would they say that in the midst of, it's because what it's speaking to is a fulfillment of word in Leviticus, of the way it was supposed to be. See, this was the restoring of some things. This was the establishing and the restoring of the kingdom. And so when it went into talking about those things, and none went without, and those who had certain things sold it and brought it and laid it at the apostles' feet, it had to do with going back to the law that was in place, that all the widows and the orphans and the needy and the poor, that they would be taken care of as well. That's maximum kingdom manifestation. Uh-huh. The miracles, the signs, the wonders, all of that, it's a given. But the practical side of it is what we must give ourselves to and walk out. Lest we sensationalize this gospel, because we can prophesy, or because we can preach, or we can teach, or we can sing, but we never do the work of the kingdom that brings about transformed lives.